Secret Origins Podcast, Episode 7.
Welcome to episode 7 of the Secret Origins Podcast. I'm your host, Steve Jordan Mike, and joining me is the hacking, coughing lupus convoy.
Yeah, hey everyone.
Wow, for a second there, you sounded like the old scary cat lady from The Simpsons.
That's really disturbing.
Yes, it is.
Thank you so much.
Yes, it is. Today we will be reviewing three more stories from Justice League season. Actually, we started season 2. This is the beginning of season 2, that's right, yeah. I almost said season 1. Oh, crap. Oh, damn. So how have you been, sir, besides your hacking and coughing and...
Honestly, I've had my head in a book this entire time, since the last episode. It's getting to be the end of the semester push, so it's study, study, study.
Yep. Yes, study, not be looking up image galleries of Protector.
Hey, if it wasn't for me, you wouldn't have gotten to hear that first.
Did you see Proto Man's reply to us?
Yes, and that was disturbing mentally, but honestly, he's the first person that I would think of with that toy, and I'm surprised he doesn't have one of the hand-painted Protos yet. I mean,
yeah,
he's probably already calling them up going, okay, how can I get one off of you guys right now? Just a resin.
Yep. You know, that I so need... And see, the sad thing about Protector is that... And for those that don't know what we're talking about on a Justice League show, it's a Transformers thing. It's by Fans Project. It's Protector armor for the Classics and Henke Rodimus figure. The problem with that is I need four.
Four?
Yeah. Because, like, if I get Classics, the original Classics, I need one for car mode and one for robot mode. So I need to buy two of those figures. And then for the Henke, I need a robot and a car mode. So I would need four Protector armors. I know, I'm crazy.
Do you think, though? Do you think it's going to be one version in Henke colors and one version in Classics colors?
Possibly. I don't know. It depends on what Fans Project does.
Tricksy.
Yeah, I'm not really sure what they're going to do. I'm not really sure how I like in the car mode how the wings kind of protrude out of the armor. I know that that's part of the figure. It was the only way they could get it to work around in car mode. And the way that they... It's a good thing the gun flame thing is removable, because that just looks so wrong. It looks like he's... Looks like he's shitting a blue piece of flame.
That's a very hot flame.
Yeah, that's a hot piece of shit. Oh, boy.
Oh, my.
With me, it's been... Well, this won't actually be out until... This episode will be released, let's see, the 27th, so we are recording it on the 20th. It will be released a week from when we record it. As of this recording, my buddy Kevin Thompson and I did an interview over on Tooncast with Maurice LaMarche. And we just wanted to interview him because we've had episode 50 of Tooncast come up, which is on Inspector Gadget, which he was one of the people that voiced Chief Quimby. And I wanted to interview him. You know, I love the brain. I love a lot of the other stuff he's done. Egon from Ghostbusters. He did Dizzy Devil in Tiny Toons. And we had a question for him about what kind of voice acting does he prefer, whether it be cartoons, video games, whatever. And he said the video game work is especially hard because you have all this dialogue. He then went to go on and spill the beans that he is going to be Mr. Freeze in Arkham Asylum 2, which has caused a whole... Kevin and I did not know that that little leak was going to be such a huge deal. It's been all over the internet today. And it's, you know, we've since contacted Mr. LaMarche apologizing, and, you know, he's gone back and forth with us. So the issue is straightened out, but it's like one of those things where, wow, it's just everywhere. Are you still awake?
I'm still here.
Okay. I was going to say, what the hell? All right.
I was letting you go on. I didn't want to interrupt because that's something very important.
Yeah, no, I was done. What else? What else? What else? Oh, did you get your replacement? Because last episode we had talked about the fact that I got you the complete series set, but the fact that it was broken came damaged. Did you get your replacement set?
I sure as heck does.
And
did.
It does.
English is not necessarily my first language, so my apologies.
Well, you could be like Steve Megatron over on Beast Unleashed, episode 8. He did... He kept saying, you know what you coulda did? I said, what's a coulda did?
It's a cousin of a Katie did.
So there's nothing wrong with the new version or the replacement?
The only problem that I have is that the cases are mixed up.
Yeah, that's the same problem I had.
It's fine.
Yeah,
it's
all you have to do is, remember I told you, all you have to do is just open it up and move the...
The sheets?
Yeah, switch the cover copies and switch the booklets. But, yeah, that's the way mine came, too. I don't know why it was like that. No idea.
Just lucky.
Yeah. I'm trying to think. Oh, a little bit of podcasting news here for Secret Origins. When we get to episode 10, which I know it's 3 episodes away, but when we get to episode 10, I believe... the DVD set is wrong again, unfortunately. Where it has Hereafter, Wild Cards, and Comfort and Joy, on the set it lists, and I think it airs them this way as well, I don't know, I'd have to double check, but it lists, let's see, where is it? Crap. I'm losing my mind over here. It lists Hereafter, and then Comfort and Joy, and then Wild Cards before Starcrossed. That's not the case. It's supposed to be Hereafter, Wild Cards, then Comfort and Joy. Because in Wild Cards, John and Shiera have, at the end of that two-parter, they have consummated their relationship. And in Comfort and Joy, they are, we assume that they are, you know, full-on dating because they go off and have holiday fun together. So we will be reviewing them in that order. It'll be Hereafter, Wild Cards, and then Comfort and Joy. And then after that, in episode 11, it'll be Starcrossed. So that's out of the way. You have anything else you'd like to bring up?
Not really.
All right, we're going to get into some episodes.
Any minute now, Brainiac will explode. And guess what? You're going with him. No, Darkseid. To get off this rock, you'll have to go through me.
You really are a glutton for punishment. Time and again I've beaten you, humbled you. What makes you think today's outcome will be any different?
Because this time, I won't stop until you're just a greasy smear on my fist. Let's go.
Ah!
another lesson in humility, boy.
Wait! Where's Superman?
That idiot.
I'll get him. The rest of you take off, now.
But
just do it!
I hope he knows what he's doing.
This is where you belong, Superman, under my heel.
This.
Kent, don't be a fool.
Get out of here! Now!
Nothing could have survived that. Not even Darkseid.
You know something, Bruce? You're not always right.
First up today is Twilight, and no, this does not sparkle.
Kill it with fire!
No, this is a good Twilight episode. This is not that hideous, god-awful book and movie franchise. Oh, God. I'm trying to think where I was going to go somewhere with that, but I just couldn't. Just to give you a little bit of backstory, the last time that we saw Darkseid was in Superman the Animated Series. So basically this is where all the continuity starts coming back in as far as between Superman the Animated Series and Justice League and all that other stuff. So, in part one, on a distant planet, a fleet of ships under the command of Steppenwolf is under attack from a larger number of ships. Unable to get out of the gravity well or a boom tube themselves out, Steppenwolf contacts Apocalypse to update Darkseid. Darkseid on his situation. Desaad realizes that they might come under attack from New Genesis, but Darkseid still took the risk. Thanking him for his years of service, Darkseid orders Steppenwolf to take his many with him, but Steppenwolf suddenly screams as the connection breaks off. Orion takes the place of Steppenwolf and then sends Darkseid a present by way of a boom tube. Steppenwolf's vessel, which crashes into a fire pit, causing an explosion and destroys several war machines in the depot. It makes its way to Darkseid's palace, burying him, Desaad, and Kalibak in the rubble. As Darkseid emerges from the rubble, Highfather contacts him and gives him fair warning. Break the treaty again, and Apocalypse will be the target. At the Watchtower, Hawkgirl is watching a video of some hawks. Jean Jones comes in and offers her some company. She says she is feeling homesick and relays how she arrived on Earth while chasing a pair of criminals. She stumbled into a space-time disturbance that catapulted her to another part of the galaxy. Now she is lost with no idea how to get home. Back on Apocalypse, Kalibak is overseeing the reconstruction. Desaad points out the losses that they incurred, but Darkseid says that the solution to the anti-life equation is almost in their grasp. Desaad criticizes the move as a fool's errand, and in punishment, Darkseid kills Desaad with the Omega Beam. God, I love those things. That's so fucking cool. However, the ship of the unknown origin arrives, and Darkseid realizes it's Death. At the Watchtower, Hot Girl is explaining how she arrived on Earth. She tracked... Wait, what the hell?
Did they repeat it?
Didn't... I get it. Never mind. Sorry. At the Watchtower, Hot Girl is explaining how she arrived on Earth. She tracked a group of criminals to their base. They used some sort of particle weapon on her, sending her to Earth. Jean notes that most of the Justice League's members are either exiles or the last of their kind. Suddenly, an alarm sounds in the tower. Heading down a level, Hot Girl and Jean meet with Superman, Batman, and Wonder Woman. Batman says that the unknown energy signature is appearing in the tower, which Superman recognizes as a boom tube. Suddenly, Darkseid appears. Superman begins assaulting him, but Diana and Jean restrain him before they damage the station. Darkseid explains that Apocalypse is under attack by Brainiac and that he needs their help. Superman is willing to leave them to die, but Darkseid notes that Brainiac will not stop with Apocalypse. As the Justice League debates what to do, Superman is finally convinced to help despite his suspicion that Darkseid is plotting something, but asks Batman to do something for him. On Apocalypse, Kalibak leads the attack on Brainiac's ship, but his shields are too powerful. Superman and the Justice League arrive, but they also cannot break through the shield. Darkseid, however, has another plan. Meanwhile, Batman and Wonder Woman have a boom tube to New Genesis, hoping to enlist Orion's help in stopping Brainiac. Oh man, I love it when Batman boom tubes. He can't stand it. He's like, no. However, they are attacked by a massive predator. Wonder Woman is knocked unconscious, and Batman is nearly devoured when someone fires a buzz bomb into the creature's mouth, taking two heroes away. He introduces himself as Forager, a bug, one of the lower class of New Genesis. When they ask where to find Orion, Forager explains that all the gods live above them, both figuratively and literally, dwelling in a city far above the plains. I love Batman's line, "I'm going to need a longer grapple."
He says it so dejectedly, too.
I know, yeah.
He's like, oh, first the boom tube, now this. Come on.
Yeah. Heading for the city, Batman and Wonder Woman encounter Light Ray, who spanks Wonder Woman and dares her to race. When Batman covering Light Ray with his cape, they capture Light Ray and ask where to find Orion. However, Orion has found them. Back on Apocalypse, Superman challenges Brainiac to come and fight him. Brainiac opens his shields enough to blast Superman with an energy blast. But Superman is able to withstand the energy long enough to further open the shield. Darkseid uses his firepower to fire a powerful energy weapon at Brainiac, which damages him, causing the shields of his vessel to go down and allow all of Kalibak's army to destroy the device trying to absorb Apocalypse's data banks. Brainiac takes flight, and the Justice League follow in the Javelin, chasing Brainiac to an asteroid field. However, once they fly over a hole within the large asteroid, they realize that they have been led into a trap. The asteroid is shaped like Brainiac's head. Oh boy.
Because you know, it can't be a supervillain holdout unless it's got a giant head.
Yeah.
Looking like the supervillain.
Yes, that's very, very true. I have a lot of notes on this. I don't know, I've got a lot of notes on these episodes for some strange reason. It's not like season one where I only had like a few for each one, but first note is Darkseid is back and his head ain't blowed up. Well, they blew up in Legacy, the final two-parter of Superman the Animated Series. His head got blown up.
One way to deal with somebody, I suppose.
Yeah. Hot Girl's betrayal storyline starts here. She's seeding them with their her past and all that stuff. Kalibak. Worf is Kalibak. Star Trek reference. Michael Dorn plays Kalibak. The Crimea River line.
That was awesome. Just to see them not be in each other's faces.
Yep.
And that man not backing down.
Yep.
Because we all know he's got insurance.
Yes. And then I mentioned it a little bit earlier. Oh, poor Batman. He don't like Boom Toon travel.
Nope.
Batman has so many great one-liners in this. I'm going to need a longer grapple. actually, I listened to the commentary for part two of this, and Bruce, they openly admit that Batman has too many good one-liners in this two-parter.
There's no such thing as Batman having too many good one-liners.
I know, but still. Rob Paulson is Light Ray.
I have no clue who that is.
Rob Paulson, Wacko Warner from Animaniacs.
Oh, okay.
Raphael from Teenage Ninja Turtles.
See, I know voice actors by their characters, not necessarily their...
Okay. Fair enough. Hey, Batman's cape is actually useful. This was in reference to when they captured Light Ray.
Well, at the same time, Batman's not stupid enough to be able to make it detachable.
Oh, no, I know that, but still... Ron Perlman is Orion. Very cool. Darkseid fired his laser right through Superman's legs.
Yeah, that... He must have been going, damn, I missed. Like, seriously, if he could just... I could see him being like, oh, you know, secondary opportunity. Make sure there's no more Kryptonians. Haha. You know?
And the cliffhanger ends, obviously, with Brainiac's asteroid head. They also mention in the commentary for part two, they talk about ringing the bell. This whole season, you know, season one, they were, kind of pulling their punches and seeing what works, seeing what doesn't work. Here, they just don't pull any punches. They just went for it. And I love that. We don't have any more of wimpy Superman, thank God. it's just infinitely better. The animation, the backgrounds in this, like the backgrounds in Brainiac's head, just wow. Wow. What do you have to say?
Oh, God. Oh, my God. Darkseid's an ass. the very beginning of... the episode, I sat down, I popped it in, and I went, well, tonight on tonight's Justice League, space opera. Just the massive opening that we had.
Yeah.
That huge fight scene.
Yeah.
I thought that was really cool. What else? So, Desaad is apparently made out of tissue paper. I knew this wasn't going to be Hot Girl's origin.
Mm-hmm.
When she commented that Thanagar is so far out there that they haven't been contacted by the Green Lantern Corps.
Yeah.
That just made me go, oh, bullshit. Oh, Bucky! So I know that was just... that just made me go, okay, now this is where we're starting to see the upcoming...
Yeah.
...big twist at the end. The comment that she made about the Just Us League, and then... Jean actually smirking.
Yeah, that was kind of cool.
Jean actually showing any type of emotion. That was pretty awesome.
It's funny, I find that... Now, I don't know if it's the way that they wanted Carl Lumbly to portray the role of Jean Jones. I find him very offsetting when it comes to humor, because he just doesn't get it, for the most part.
Hmm.
At least in the first season I did, of course, maybe as they go along, it'll get better, but continue.
Okay. Let's see. I can't necessarily say that the tanks and weaponry are really effective. Well, not effective, but they're not really intimidating on Darkseid's planet.
Darkseid.
My apologies. I'm a comic guy. Come on.
You should know it. I hate to bring this up, but I was half expecting to see War Wheels.
Oh God, I could see it. But really, like that those are some really crappy looking tanks and even the flying missile turrets. Mm-hmm. It's like, really? You're going to put a little dragon head on that? That's really effective. And they didn't seem to be doing anything against Brainiac at the time. So I was like, wow, this is kind of pathetic. And the entire time I'm thinking, you know, what's Darkseid's plan? Because he's always got a backup. And I'm kind of thinking, like, at the time, okay, maybe he's just setting it up so that when all is said and done, he's got all this technology from Brainiac kicking about, and he can just help himself to it. You know, that was my thought about the whole situation in the beginning. So Darkseid shows up, right? Batman, Mr. Uber Prepared has never seen energy outputs for a boom tube. Really?
Well, alright. There's...
I mean, that's obviously a story thing, but...
Well, see, the problem with it in this is because of the fact that... Okay, if you really want to go DCAU timeline, BTAS, STAS, Justice League Unlimited, Batman Beyond. That would be the yearly timeline that the shows happened in. Obviously, that's not the timeline that they actually were aired in. Obviously, Batman Beyond came before Justice League. It's weird, you're right, but it also goes back to he eventually knows about them once you get to Batman Beyond. I don't think he was... Because I know Batman and Superman crossed over episodes a couple of times in the new Batman Adventures and Superman the Animated Series. I don't know if Batman was ever around when the boom tube part showed up. I'm not sure. I don't remember. But you could say that this was his first introduction to them.
Probably.
I don't know.
Yeah. See, okay, how did Hawk Girl put on her seatbelt exactly? Because it's a crossover, you know, flight type harness.
Mm-hmm.
How exactly is she getting those just magically through her wings? I'm just like, how? That's got to be really uncomfortable to just put on and put off. And,
well, maybe it was like the specially made spacesuit she had in War, or not War, was it War?
It's uber stretchy.
No, was it, I'm trying to think if it was in Blackest Night in season one of War World.
The episodes we shall not name.
Alright, but in Blackest Night, yeah, it was in Blackest Night. She had that specially designed spacesuit with the wings in the back of it. So maybe this, I don't know. I have no idea.
See, it was nice to see Superman not being the wimp. Like, yes. Darkseid shows up, and all of a sudden it's like, not in my house! Wham! Wham! And they're like, oh crap, he's going to throw the entire space station out of orbit.
I like how they did that.
That was
kind
of
like how they did that. I like how they showed the fact that if you start having a fight in the Watchtower, it's going to go all wonky on you. And
Darkseid was calling him Kal-El.
Yep.
I caught that, and I was like, wow.
Well, really? Darkseid knows.
Right.
So,
well, see, I didn't watch Superman, so...
Yeah.
At least not all of it.
Yeah. I mean, Darkseid's known for some time now. And if you look at the timeline, like I said before, even in the timeline that the show's aired in, BTAS, STAS, Batman Beyond, Justice League, from STAS to Justice League, it's been at least two to two and a half years, maybe more, since the last time they saw each other in Superman the Animated Series. So, what really surprised me was they were mentioning in the commentary how, for some strange reason, they could not get Tim Daly back. And they brought in George Newbern. And George, they had to kind of coach him on, you know, they had to kind of sit him down and show him all this stuff about, you know, why Superman hates this guy, so he could, you know, get that rage in him and find that dark place to bring that rage out of Darkseid. And he did an awesome job voice acting Superman against Darkseid.
It's good. I mean, man, I don't imagine seeing Superman being that way. Like, people are in danger. Doesn't matter if they're good or bad, but people are in danger normally. He's the one to step up, and it's like, oh, good, you know? Get rid of Apocalypse. I don't want to deal with it anymore.
Right, but the reason why he was like that, and Batman even says it, you know, we know he used you. He turned you around and turned you loose on Earth and made you turn against Earth. And, you know, if someone did that to me, I would definitely want their planet to freaking die.
He is, like, uber tyrant, and everyone's there to basically do whatever he says, so...
Yep.
You understand his mentality, but still, seeing that cold... That coming out of Superman is kind of eerie and scary, and it does kind of make me think, like, this is foreshadowing towards the Justice Lords, almost. In the aspect of, oh my god, there's actually dark parts to these characters.
It could be. Up to this point, Superman's pretty much been the Boy Scout, but, you know, you...
He's gone Eagle Scout at this point.
Well, it's one of those things where you have to realize that Darkseid and then later Brainiac, they're his two biggest villains. Outside of Luthor. Luthor is like his main... Well, he's his main foe, but Lex Luthor has no superpowers. Lex Luthor is not a computer bent on assimilating all the information and destroying the world. You know, Lex Luthor doesn't have I-beams coming out of his face, for Christ's sake. You know, Darkseid does. Brainiac is this supercomputer entity that just runs wild and destroys worlds after he collects all the data. So you would have to have some more emotion than just, oh yeah, we're going to go help them. Oh hell no, we ain't going to help them. He did this and he did that. I like Batman's line, I suggest you get over it. But, yeah. What else are you going to say?
Oh, what else? Okay, so what's up with Forager? Like, in this episode, he just kind of shows up and... Oh, I am but a mere bug. Quite literally, the guy is a bug. He evolved out of insects. So, I would have liked to have seen more with him instead of him just showing up, and then that's it.
See, I don't know much about the fourth world characters outside of what I've seen in this DCAU. As far as the comics go, I do know that Butch... Oh, I know I'm going to butcher his... I think it's Lukic or Luchik or... I don't know. The director that's on the commentary. He had said that there was a scene with the Forever People in there that they had to cut out. But they're there at the end as well. I don't know much about any of them other than Darkseid, Highfather, and Orion. And Light Ray. I don't know much about any of the others. So I really couldn't comment on it.
I'll save that for the next, next part. We already covered the gonna need a longer grapple.
Yep.
I was curious as to what type of son Apocalypse had.
That's interesting. Yeah.
Because Soup still had his powers.
Yep.
So, let's see. Light Ray, worse than the Flash. I didn't think that was possible in this. series, but
You know, we don't get much with Light Ray. There's, you know, there's like two scenes.
What we do get,
well, it's awesome though. Come on now,
who else would have the balls to slap Wonder Woman's ass? Oh god, what else? I already covered Darkseid's miss. The spooky head in space. Yep, it's a supervillain's place. The only other thing I had written down was, way to go, Supes. You bet that farm, you just might get a new tractor out of it. Just the, I'll bet the farm on it. I'm like, oh, yeah, well, you've got one to bet, I guess.
Yep.
But that's all I got for the episode.
Alright, so we're going to move into part two here. As part two starts in Brainiac's asteroid, Superman, Jean, and Hawkgirl exit the Javelin. As a hover platform arrives to take them to Brainiac. Sitting on a throne, Brainiac offers Superman another chance to join him in carrying out the legacy of Krypton. Calling him a perversion of Krypton, Superman refuses. I believe there's a line that wasn't said. Oh God, it's during that whole exchange between the two of them, where I believe Superman was going to say, "You can kiss my." I could have sworn he was going to say, "Kiss my ass," or it's something like that. I'm going to have to go back and watch it and see, but I don't remember. But yeah, that was awesome. Brainiac attacks, but the Leaguers are able to destroy Brainiac's body. Unfortunately, Brainiac's programming is within the asteroid itself. Worse for the League, Brainiac has several robots to spare. On New Genesis, Highfather is with a group of children, instructing them on the merits of gardening and how it takes time. Orion, Batman, and Wonder Woman and Lightray come in, saying that they have news from Apocalypse. Not wanting to frighten the children, Highfather takes them outside the garden. Explaining what is happening on Apocalypse, Orion wants to mount an army and destroy Darkseid, but Highfather reminds him that the treaty forbids New Genesis from interfering in the internal affairs of Apocalypse. Orion counters that Darkseid's existence is a very threat to peace, which Highfather concedes, but he remembers all too well the war between two worlds. Torn between the threat of Darkseid and the horrors of the war, Highfather decides to consult the Source before he commits to any action and commands Orion to wait for his decision. Orion concedes, but is clearly angered by the decision as he punches a pillar. On Brainiac's asteroid, the Justice League is holding their own against the Brainiac robots when Darkseid arrives via boom tube and attacks the Justice League. Oh, Superman was right. Once they are defeated, Darkseid tells Brainiac he's kept his promise to deliver Superman into Brainiac's hands. On New Genesis, Wonder Woman asks about Forager and his people, but Orion dismisses them as unimportant bugs. Orion also reveals that he is planning to attack Darkseid regardless of Highfather's decision and intends to do it now as he flies through a boom tube. Batman and Wonder Woman follow. Oh man, I'm going to have to go back. It's a good thing I don't edit these things before we... whatever. I'm going to have to go back and see if I can cut it out, but as they go through the boom tube, Batman's like, the next time, you know, I try to put Superman in charge, just hit me real hard.
Hard. Yep. That was an awesome
quote. Yeah, I think there's too much music behind it, though, for me to grab it for it to sound good. On Brainiac's asteroid, Darkseid reminds Brainiac of their deal. In exchange for Superman, Apocalypse will be spared. As they arrive on Brainiac's central computer core, Darkseid asks what Brainiac's intentions are for Superman. Brainiac reveals that he has reached the limits of his evolutionary line. To further evolve, he requires genetic material from the last Kryptonian alive. However, as Brainiac begins extracting DNA from Superman, Darkseid places his mother box on Brainiac's central control console, programming Brainiac to serve Darkseid. Brainiac is still aware of what is happening, but must now serve Darkseid. He instructs Brainiac to begin assimilating New Genesis. Back in the throne room, Hawkgirl and Jean awaken, realizing that Darkseid's betrayal. Searching the complex for Superman, Jean muses that there may be information on Thanagar in Brainiac's data tracks, and Hawkgirl says that they have no time. Yeah. Sure, hot girl. Uh-huh, you lion slut.
But she's our lion slut.
Yeah. In an asteroid field, Orion carries Batman and Wonder Woman with him, with Orion's mother box saying that Darkseid is here. Seeing Brainiac's asteroid, they head in. On New Genesis, Highfather's communion with the Source is interrupted by Darkseid's attack. As Light Ray arrives, Highfather orders the city to be evacuated. The entire population takes flight in escape pods down to the surface, but even as they escape, storms rage across their world from the surface. A horrified Forager looks on. That's the scene where the Forever People were originally supposed to be. At Brainiac's asteroid, Hawkgirl and Jean arrive in the central core, and Darkseid orders Brainiac to destroy them. Though he has no desire to help, Darkseid's programming forces Brainiac to release his drones and attack Jean takes control of one of the drones, using it to destroy others. I love that. That's so awesome. Just phase your hand, reach in, and start controlling it.
Are you having fun? Yes.
Yes. And that's what I meant earlier, where, you know, Huckerl was making a joke about it. And he's like, yes, I am. And it's like, wow, way to be so cold. Let's see. Using his right. But they are nearly overwhelmed when Orion, Batman, and Wonder Woman arrive. Orion immediately goes for Darkseid while Batman tries to stop Brainiac's assault. Unable to work the controls, Batman smashes the console. Yeah, if you don't know how to read the thing, if you don't know how to read the language, just hit it. It works.
Hey, it works for Shahira. It works for Hawkgirl.
Oh, just smash it. Releasing Superman and deactivating the drones and absorption of New Genesis, also causing a critical system failure that will destroy the asteroid. As the Justice League flees for the Javelin, Superman stays behind. When the League realizes that Superman isn't with them, Batman tells them to take off as he goes looking for Superman. That idiot! I love that line. Wonder Woman was like, "Where's Superman?" That idiot.
Idiot.
Elsewhere, Darkseid and Orion are locked in combat. Darkseid is pleased to see Orion's skills in combat, but Darkseid is the stronger. However, Superman arrives, destroys Orion's mother box, and challenges him to combat. Superman is able to hold his own, but Darkseid is still the stronger. When Batman arrives and tries to stop him, but Superman refuses to leave. You know what I don't get? I don't get that when he goes up to him, telling him to leave, he whispers in his ear, "Don't be a fool, Kent." Like nobody knows this. I mean, come on. Batman then activates a boom tube and drags Superman away, which also pulls Orion into it as well. Though beaten and battered, Darkseid sneers, knowing that he ultimately won. With that, the asteroid explodes. I love Darkseid's line, "Loser." On New Genesis, the Justice League have met up with Highfather and Light Ray. Batman says that there is no way either Darkseid or Brainiac could have survived, but Superman is not so sure. Light Ray has failed to find any of the other new gods, and Highfather fears that all is lost. Suddenly, the children Highfather was with earlier stumble upon them, along with a host of other new gods who were given shelter by Forager. Highfather thanks Forager for his compassion and promotes him to a higher social standing. Looking, Jean hopes that one day Hot Girl will find her place. She responds with an unsure maybe, thus ending this two-parter. I have a little bit less notes on this one. Like I said before, Superman was right. It was a trap.
What's his name? Q Mon Calamari. It's a trap.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Whatever his name is.
Yeah. I already said it. There might be info on Thanagon here. Pause. There's no time for that. Superman needs us.
Well, I mean, it does make sense. It's a very good cover.
Yep. Wow. I don't know if you noticed this, but when they were doing the battle against the robots, the Hot Girl spinning mace move, that was
awesome.
I love that. That's so
a giant propeller, and I'm thinking, how the hell is that not going up her arm?
I love that so much. That's so awesome. Oh. Superman versus Darkseid, round two. Ding.
Someone's going down.
Yeah. Yep. So what are you going to say?
When Darkseid's like, you know, how is this going to be any different than the last time? And Superman's like, because this time you're going to be a greasy smear on my fist.
Yeah.
That was like, wait, that came out of Kent? What? Superman does not talk that way.
Apparently that also goes back to what I was saying earlier. You know, George Newbern coming into this needed to learn the history between Superman and Darkseid in the cartoon. and he needed to get that anger up.
It was definitely something that I didn't anticipate. Do you have anything to go on? I mean, I've got more, but...
No, go ahead.
Okay, let's see. So when they're going in there and they're being overridden by Brainiac, and Hawkgirl's like, well, now what do we do? And Superman's like, now we just have to wait. I'm like, no, y'all can fly. Really, all three of you. There's nothing keeping you there. So they beat the crap out of the first Brainiac, and I'm like, wow, that was kind of anticlimactic, but this entire time all they needed was a magic mace. That's all they needed. Just beat the crap out of him with mace. No more Brainiac. Problem solved. I'm like, wow, that's awesome. And then the rest of the Brainiacs show up. I'm like, oh, damn. But Hawkgirl's like, I'm sorry. Well, somebody had to do it. Took you long enough, you know? Let's see. We already talked about next time I put Superman in charge, hit me hard.
Yep.
To see the switch go on with Darkseid, how he was going from being someone that you would think to be like a second-rate villain through the first part of the episode.
Yeah.
Like, oh, yeah, another plan. Uh-huh, sure. Okay, you're doing great. You know, I'm more intimidated by the Joker, honestly. And now suddenly, like, the plan in a plan starts to come out, and it's like, wow. This is the Darkseid I'm really afraid of. This is the one that I'm really, like, quaking in my boots about getting that anti-life equation.
Yeah, see, again, you know, I've said this before, again, you really need to go back and watch Superman the Animated Series, because it all evolves from that, and then it goes into this.
I mean, I saw half of an episode of that two-part story arc, I think. But it was like, wow, okay, now we're actually seeing the evil villain that we're really tooting and being afraid of. Mm. Magic Mace, it's great to see it as always. Let's see. Okay, so Superman being a total dick, like tweaking out, shoving Batman, who dents into the wall, and I can only assume he breaks his arm at that point. If you're being shoved by Superman into a solid object, I'm pretty sure the solid object is going to crumple, but you are going to break as well.
Yeah, probably.
We had a Mr. Miracle.
Yep. He'll come back eventually.
Yep, and the entire time that I was watching the New Gods, I was really concerned because they seem to have a very rigorous caste system.
Mm-hmm.
And it just seemed to be exemplified when we saw, you know, the whole, oh, they're higher above us, quite figuratively and literally. And the fact that they totally sneered down even Orion, it was really kind of disturbing. Like, these are the uber good guys in comparison, but it seems like they're just showing some of the same things that Darkseid does.
Yeah.
What else do we have? It might have been on the prior part of the episode, but Orion with his little costume, where he has to hold into that little the harness and rig to fly around. He's got to have, like, the world's worst posture. Like, seriously, like, he's hunched over this little thing, like, ah. I think that's all I've got, honestly. Most of it was just about how much of a dick Superman was being.
Yeah, well, you know, and again, I'm coming from the point where I've seen the previous. Really, for you to get caught up on the Superman-Darkseid animosity,
you have to go back to Superman.
Well, right, but really the only episodes of Superman the Animated Series you need to watch to do that is Brave New Metropolis. Or, no, not Brave New Metropolis. Apocalypse Now, Part 1 and Part 2.
Mm-hmm.
And Legacy, Part 1 and Part 2. So that'll catch you up on that. So, I mean, that's one of the reasons why I can look past it, because I know why it's coming like this.
Okay.
But in your case, I see where you're coming from, that you think he's being a dick.
Well, I think the big part that made me think, wow, he's a big dick, was when he shoved Clark like that. Not Clark,
Bruce.
I was like, wow, he just shoved his best friend. Potentially, he could have killed him.
Well, you know, and again, that they've had tension since World's Finest, which was in Superman the Animated Series 2. So, you know, they're not always buddy-buddy.
Right.
So,
I got one more. Why isn't Brainiac interested in Jean? He's the last of his kind. He's basically the key to all knowledge about Martian history, culture, and he's not interested in Jean?
I'm not sure, really. You know, I think it's one of those things where it's not Brainiac is interested in people. He's interested in planets. He's interested in, well, yes, it's knowledge, but, man, I'm not sure how to debate that because, I mean, technically Mars is dead. So, like Darkseid said, as you know, Kal-El, you know, once Brainiac devours a world, he moves on. Well, right. Mars is already dead, so, you know, why would he have an interest in Jean? Now, if it was somebody like the Preserver that was in Superman the Animated Series, who was collecting last of their kind people, I could see it that way. This guy had this huge like zoo and had like the last Zarnian, the last Kryptonian, the last whatever, the last
Lobo.
Yeah, Lobo. Yeah, you know, I could see it being like that. But Brainiac is all about knowledge. And he specifically states later in Divided We Fall, he states that once I get the knowledge out of you and your bodies will be dead and I'll move on. So I'm not really sure why he didn't go after Jean in this. I think it's because they painted him more as this Kryptonian menace. That because he is Superman's or one of Superman's biggest villains, that he would go after Superman and not Jon.
That makes sense.
I guess that's the only way I can explain it.
But I think that's all I got for this one.
All right, we are gonna move on.
Stay back. I'll take it from here.
You don't have any powers.
I have this. It's a package deal. You get our strengths, but you also get our weaknesses.
We are not your enemy. You know what to do. Yes, you know. Nothing can stop you now. You have all their powers. Use them well.
So you lied to me.
What?
It was all a lie, wasn't it?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Then let me spell it out for you. I can read your mind, Lex.
If that's true, then you know what this is, and that I'm willing to use it.
It's my turn.
I say we let them waste each other.
Since when do we do what you say?
Wait.
so small. All of you. And so meaningless. There's nothing I want from you anymore. None of you has anything to offer me now.
Where's he going?
Where gods belong. Oh, stop.
Up next is Tabula Rasa. Now, I need to note before I go into the plot for this, the DCAU wiki does not have plot synopsises for either parts of this two-parter. I don't know why. Not really sure if they were deleted or if somebody just didn't do them, so I had to get these from elsewhere, so they're not going to be as long as usual. Lex Luthor fights Hot Girl and Superman when his armor is damaged and he comes to LexCorp looking for Professor Ivo, but finds his former assistant, Mercy Graves, in charge. He goes to Ivo's manor and finds him dead along with an android who can duplicate anything by visually scanning it. Lex gives the android a sob story about how the League are evil, and if they get a hold of Lex, they'll kill him just like the android's creator. Jean tries to locate Luthor telepathically, and is overwhelmed by the petty, evil minds of all the humans he inadvertently scans as well. Jean begins to question why he should help protect them, and flees to the forest. The android first steals power source for Lex's damaged suit, running into Hot Girl and defeating her by adapting her wings and power mace. He then sets out to defeat the entire League, and Hot Girl, Wonder Woman, Flash, and Green Lantern are quickly defeated. Superman and Batman are advised to remain away, but when the others are defeated, Superman tries to blind the android and defeat it. The plan fails, and Superman is down as the android closes in on him. Dun dun dun! it's in stereo. Now, the good thing about where I got these synopsises from TV.com. It actually gives you a little bit of info on Amazo the android and Mercy Graves. So Amazo, in the comic books, the power adapting android is known as Amazo, is a long standing opponent of the Justice League. First introduced in Brave and the Bold number 30, Amazo was created by Professor Ivo as a plan to steal the JLR's powers and obtain immortality. Ivo lived, unlike in this story, and later mutated into a reptilian looking immortal creature. Amazo has wandered in and out of comics for many years, and in the comics he has typically had to be programmed with superpowers by his creator. Only in most recent appearances has he displayed the ability to adapt powers. But the fact that Superman tried to sit out the battle to avoid powering up Amazo further is similar to the concept behind JLA number 27, third series. When Amazo gets more powerful, the more Justice Leaguers he fights. The idea of Amazo getting cosmic power is similar to plotline in Justice League number 111, although it was a villain named Libra who turned cosmic by taking on the powers of the universe, and Amazo returned in the next issue 112 as a way to help the League recover their stolen powers. This is his first appearance in the WB animated universe. And then for Mercy, Mercy Graves was previously Luthor's chauffeur and bodyguard in Superman the Animated Series, and has been running LexCorp in Luthor's absence and no longer cares about him. She was not part of the comic book mythos originally, but has been introduced in the comics since her appearance in the various animated series. She possesses only human abilities, but is a skilled martial artist and driver. This is her first appearance on Justice League.
Am I correct in... I might be off on this. Maybe someone correct me, but in the comics, after this came out, I think there was Mercy and there was another character named Hope, who was also one of his personal bodyguards. That was pretty much a counterpoint to Mercy.
I'm not sure.
Because I think Hope was blonde, and it looked exactly the same like Mercy.
Well, Mercy has brown hair in this. I don't know what she's got in the comics. I just thought it was interesting that they put that on the as notes on the thing. Some of my notes here, just a few. yet again, Superman and Hot Girl are teamed up. Eek, a very large robot. That's in reference to Amazo. Poor John, a psychic sweep of the whole city. Yikes.
I don't...
What?
In reference to that?
Yeah.
Hasn't he done scanning of, like, an entire planet before?
In this cartoon, I do not think so, but...
I thought he was, like, scanning for some people before. Like, he was looking for Batman.
No. He was shielding him.
No, there was another episode where... Injustice for All, maybe? Where Lex hired all the villains and had him in that stasis field so Jean couldn't find him, but Jean was trying to scan the entire city for him.
I don't think it's ever said that. I'd have to go back and watch it, but I don't think it's ever said that. I think it's just that in that episode, Lex thought ahead, put Batman in the stasis field, and as soon as Batman sprayed the water on the thing, Batman contacted Jean. I don't know, it's just one of those things where you just don't know. The morphing hand gimmick was very creepy.
That was. It was like watching Aliens.
Yeah. Amazo, when he takes on Hot Girl's powers, he also takes on her voice. That was kind of creepy.
Not as creepy as when... Oh, wait. I'm not sure if it's in part one or part two. He picks up the habits of the Flash.
I think it's in part two.
Part two.
Yeah, but I know what you're saying. Three more here. Ooh, super fast lantern bullets. That was awesome.
That was. It wasn't just like little bullets. It was like a whole barrage.
Yeah, that was awesome. I love that. Did you see? I know you check Twitter very periodically and not like often enough. But did you ever see the picture I linked to you on Twitter a while ago? It was one of Superman and the Batmobile on stakeout with Batman, cup of Joe and.
Yes, that was awesome.
It's kind of cool yet strange because you don't think of
that Superman. They're just normal guys drinking coffee.
Yeah, but you don't think of Superman as sitting in the Batmobile drinking coffee. At the end of the episode, the animation model on Superman seems kind of flawed. After Amazo knocks him into the construction site, the S, it looks like it's off model. Maybe it's just that it's blurry in the image, but it's not like... I don't know, maybe they were going for like an homage to Super Friends or something, I don't know, but it looked weird to me.
I didn't catch it.
That's the last note I have for this part.
What have I got? I liked how Mercy was totally like up in Lex's face.
Just grabbed her by the throat.
Yeah, but she was like, you know what? You left, I had to deal with this, and I was just your chauffeur. I was the one that pulled this out of, you know, she goes on and on and on, like...
Yep.
You know, she doesn't have a business degree, but she was doing all this, and I was like, wow, you go, girl. We got to see Martian Jean back, which we haven't seen in a while, like his original form.
Yeah.
I was a little curious about Amazo copying Owen Tech. I was like, really? He copied, like, the most advanced technology in the world, just like that. I'll run with it. Okay.
Wait, copied what?
When he copied the ring.
Oh, okay. When he copied the
Owen...
Ring.
Okay. He copied, OS technology. I'm like, okay. Really? That's a stretch. I mean, I'm sure I could come up with a solution for, like, oh, he just replicated, like, the concept.
Well, that's the point. I mean, it's not actually stealing the ring's powers, but they even say that he copies. It's a duplication program.
It's an adaptation.
Exactly.
I figured that would be, like, one thing that would be a little bit too advanced for him to adapt, but that's just splitting hairs and me being a geek. Okay, so Jean's flying, overloaded with the amount of telepathic information coming into his head, And he lands in a church, and I just... I want to scream, Sanctuary! Sanctuary! Yeah, poor Hawkgirl getting slammed with a giant mesh. The entire time I was thinking it's a birdcage. And then the Hera help us alert, you know.
Yeah.
Hera gives strength. I'm like, and the whole Hera help us. Oh, well, she better because nobody else will. And I'm like, yeah, well, she showed up. I'm pretty sure Amazo would copy her too. God.
Well, you know, I like Wonder Woman's line when he's like, or when she is like, you know, Hera, give
it. I knew it.
Hera, give me strength. And she's like, you know, the Amazo copies her. And he starts pulling back on her. She turns to hug her and she goes, you didn't tell me the thing was strong as me. It wasn't like that before. Oh, jeez. You got anything?
I think that's pretty much it.
Really? Okay. All right, so moving on to part two. As the android duplicates Superman's physiology, Batman arrives and uses green kryptonite to drive the android off. It flees and returns to Lex, who is trying to rebuild his suit with Mercy's help. Lex convinces the now skeptical android to once more try and kill the League. Excuse me. In the rematch, Amazo adapts and overcomes his kryptonite weakness. He fights the League to a standstill, and when Lex arrives on the scene with his rebuilt battle suit, the League, minus Wonder Woman and Jean, are defeated. In the forest, Jean realizes not all humans are flawed when he scans a search party looking for a lost girl. Jean finds the girl and accepts his heroic role once more. He and Wonder Woman, searching for him, arrive and goads their opponent into duplicating his powers. The android uses them to read Lex's mind and realizes Luther never cared for him. With no other choice, Lex activates a remote detonator and triggers a pre-planted explosive in the android's head. Now, I gotta say, android head go boom, that was scary.
That was earth-shattering.
That was mind-blowing.
Oh, God.
Come on, I had to go there.
Oh.
I love the League's reaction, though. They're like, what did you do? And, of course, it fails to destroy the creature. However, it takes Lex's suit apart and then adapts the powers of the cosmos and departs, leaving a worried League. I love how he rips Lex off, because there's one point where Lex is pretty much almost all the way naked except for his boxer shorts.
And the little tatters of his chest piece.
Yep. So that ends Tabula Rasa, the two-parter. I've got a few notes on this one. The beginning of it when Superman and Amazo are fighting the super headbutt.
Oh, thud.
Yeah, we'll see that again. Two characters get major plot development in this two-parter, Mercy and Jean. Lex, you conniving SOB, in reference to when he tricks Amazo into trying to kill the League again. When Batman uses the kryptonite on Amazo the second time, the BTAS theme slightly plays. I thought that was really, really cool. Kryptonite fastball to the chest. Ouch!
And then, oh, God. Poof. Like, it was just dust.
But I like what Flash did, though. He quickly ran over and did his little whirly-gig thing with his hands and blew the dust off and stuff. And then Flash hitting Amazo with the mace. That's funny.
Dink, 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 dink.
Yeah.
Not doing much.
Mercy, bad girl. When she hangs up on Lex at the end.
Yep.
I believe, this is my final note, I believe that we never see Mercy Graves again in this universe. I believe.
Well, now we know why.
I don't remember if she ever comes back. I don't think she does. So what do you got for this one?
Oh, let's see. I like the compactable armor. It explains how he can just walk around with that, and nobody really, you know, how he moves that armor from place to place.
It kind of reminds me of a low tech version of Iron Man.
Yeah. Let's see. The kryptonite insurance. And do you always carry that around with you? I couldn't help but think, wow, if he's not careful, he's going to be just like Lex. And it does explain why he never has kids.
Yeah, he doesn't have kids in the most physical way, but Terry and Matthew McGinnis are his children.
True, but I meant like...
We don't actually ever see him, you know, boom chicka boom boom.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not popping him out. Lex, horrible, horrible actor.
You mean the character or the voice actor?
The character.
Okay, thank God, because Clancy Brown is awesome as Lex Luthor.
I agree, but I mean the character itself is just like, oh, ugh.
Yeah.
The Flash makes a horrible search and rescue operation. You know, he's gone through the house. He's pulled everything out, but he didn't see the guy in the bed. Like, really? So I never really want to be there.
Well, wait a minute. When the house was on fire,
right?
Was the body already buried outside?
I don't know, because they said that it was the water brushed away the dirt that was covering it.
So that's what I'm saying. Maybe before Lex left, maybe he took Ivo off the stretcher thing, and maybe he tried to bury him. I don't know.
I don't know if that would actually work. Like, if it was buried out in the back, that kind of incriminates it, and I kind of expect him to be more of the guy that would set it up to make it look like an accident, and, oh, the poor guy was in there at the time.
Well, you know, they did. Lex did say at the beginning of the first episode, at the beginning of the first part, that, you know, the cigarettes finally got him. Right. So there would be no way for them to connect Lex to Ivo's death.
True.
The guy was already dead before he got there. And who knows how long the guy had been dead, because.
At that point, they're living in... I guess it would make sense if they buried him, because you wouldn't want to be in a building with a dead body.
Yeah, no.
Let's see. It was nice to see Mercy's evolution as a character.
Yep.
Mind you, I didn't have that much experience, but to see her finally stand up to Lex and be like, okay, yeah, I'm not dealing with you anymore.
Mm-hmm.
For her to basically stand up over that, to deal with that whole... attachment with him, and then to break that.
Yep.
So that was awesome. What else? Amaze is a little jaded. I'd hate to see him combine with Brainiac. That would just be scary.
Well, he didn't combine with Brainiac.
No, he doesn't. But I mean, if that were to happen story-wise, that'd be really, really eerie.
No. Oh, thank God that never happened.
And then Jean, with the little kid, basically being like, don't be afraid, I am a flying giant green alien. Ooh.
One of the things about Jean, you mentioned earlier, this is the first time we see him revert to his true Martian form since, I believe, Night of Shadows. Because in Night of Shadows, during the whole dream sequence, the whole spell sequence, he reverted, but... this is the first time we've seen it since then. I don't really mind it, because he's going primitive. He's going into the forest, so it would make sense that he reverts to his natural form, not only to blend in more, but to be one with nature, maybe?
How can you blend in anymore? I mean, he's already bright green. I mean... I guess the cape kind of does it.
Yeah. You know, bright, shiny blue cape kind of doesn't really say, I'm one with nature.
Well, it depends on if you're pagan or not, I suppose.
Oh, Lord.
Oh, God, what else do I have? Just the shock over Lex blowing Amaze's head off. Jean being basically Uncle Ben. Oh, you have all our powers. You do well with them. apparently, not only is he green, but he's also part cricket, and we can call him Jiminy now. Jiminy Jean Jones. We had the basic, why do I bother to do this? Humanity is so horrible story arc. It was kind of nice to see it wrapped up pretty decently, but that's pretty much all I got.
Okay, we will be moving on now.
Give me a triple. Now.
Adrenaline rush wearing off? Good. The doctor will see you now.
Sorry, I'm gonna have to cancel that appointment.
Coming here was the mistake of your life. See, the closer I am to someone, the stronger I get. I'll be able to go into your brain, even if you're wide awake.
My brain's not a nice place to be.
What's that stupid song going through your mind?
It's what's keeping you out, Johnny.
Finally today, we have Only a Dream, Part 1. So we have John Dee, who has a grandiose dream in which he single-handedly defeats the entire Justice League with an enormous robot. He snaps out of the dream and returns to reality. He is a convict in Stryker's prison penitentiary. He has been volunteering as a guinea pig for experiments with the Materia Opticon, a device that gives its subject extrasensory perception. He is eager to try an increased dose, but the scientist says that it would be dangerous. Dee is told that he has been turned down for parole. More bad news comes when his wife, Penny, says that she is leaving him for another man. His chance comes when a prison riot breaks out and several dangerous inmates escape. During the riot, he breaks into the laboratory and turns on the Materiopticon to maximum. After the riot is quelled, Dee is found in the lab in a catatonic state. The League springs into action and recaptures the escapees of Solomon Grundy, Copperhead, Volcana, Firefly, and Luminous.
Okay, stop. I love how they capture Copperhead.
That was awesome.
Oh, yeah.
You didn't really think this one through, did you?
No.
I'm going to drop you 40 feet.
She's going to drop you like a bad habit. Alright, continue.
Okay, Batman and Jon Stewart capture Volcana and Firefly and return them to Strikers. Batman yawns, explaining that he has gone for 3 days without sleep. While there, they are told that Dee has escaped the prison infirmary, now littered with bodies of the other men in similar catatonic states. Lantern leaves to join the others, while Batman determines to track down Dee. That night, Dee is watching the house Penny shares with her new man. Through telepathy, he appears in her dreams, adopting a new terrifying appearance and the name Dr. Destiny. Asleep, Penny begins to scream, and her man is unable to wake her. Superman, Flash, Hawkgirl, John Jones, and Lantern are able to capture the remaining escapees. Hawkgirl nearly breaks down inside a trap made of shrinking walls conjured by Luminous, showing that she is, in fact, claustrophobic. The League decides to call it a night, except for Batman, who tracks down Penny in a hospital, and Jean, whom Batman calls in. Jean probes Penny's mind, but is unable to bring her out of her delusional state. He also gleans Dee's new persona, and that he wants revenge against the League. As the rest of the League falls asleep, Dr. Destiny's soft laughter can be heard in the background.
That was one of the creepiest To be continued ever.
I honestly thought that this one episode would be, it could have been a standalone episode.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it could have just, that whole foreboding, ominous, ending. It definitely could have been a nice cliffhanger, but it could have been a standalone if he was going to be an ongoing villain character for a season or something.
Yeah, I found that, my last note, I'm going to start with my last note first. This had to be the shortest 22 minutes in cartoon history. This episode went so fast.
It did, but it was paced really well.
It was paced well, but it's like, wait, that's it? First note was, GL scooping up an officer. Is this the first time we've seen his constructs be used?
I'm not sure.
I think it is.
It's definitely, like, something beyond just a shield, a small platform.
Mm-hmm. I felt sorry for D afterwards. You know,
everything that he was working towards is.
I felt sorry for him in the beginning. Afterwards, not so much.
Yeah.
They cuffed Copperhead's tail. Really?
Well, you don't want that thing flying around.
Yeah, that's true. The skin peeling / falling off D's face is...
That was creepy.
Creepy as hell.
And afterwards, I was like, wow, it's Skeletor.
Yeah, exactly. It's Skeletor in a blue suit.
Well, he had blue skin, right?
No, Skeletor had yellow skin. I said it was Skeletor... Well, yeah, his skin is blue, but... What I'm so used to Skeletor for is the purple hood and the purple armor on his chest. Not really so much that his skin is blue.
Okay.
What do you got?
Oh, what do I have? The opening animation, it was different than normal.
Yeah, it was.
To depict the different dream sequences. We got to see Ultra Humanite and the Joker.
Yeah.
And then Solomon Grundy. In the dream sequence, he actually was kind of eloquent. He could talk. it's okay, you're one of us now. Really? That's pretty cool. But I think I fell in love with Volcanica. Or Volcana.
Volcana, yeah.
Just her voice, her attitude. I don't know who she's a villain for, but that was actually pretty cool.
Volcana was a Volcana, Luminous... Volcana and Luminous were both reused Superman the Animated Series villains.
Okay.
Or, no, wait. Was it... I'm trying to think. Was Volcana in Superman the Animated Series? Or she might have been Batman the Animated Series? I'm not... Just keep going. I'm going to look it up.
Okay. What else? So we saw Firefly, which the first time I got introduced to him was the Batman Animated Series.
Mm-hmm.
I was kind of concerned that one of the cops might have been Mendoza, maybe, from Batman.
You mean Montoya?
Montoya. God, why do I think it's Mendoza? But yeah, the future female question.
Yeah.
GL states the obvious. Why would you put something like that in a prison with supervillains?
Yeah.
Really? GL's glowy green eyes in the dark. Like, that's the first time we actually see him in the dark, and it's kind of creepy. I was really concerned if maybe Hawkgirl was claustrophobic. And we get to see Solomon Grundy totally kick ass.
Yep.
Like, he's this uber-villain that's just beating the crap out of everything.
Mm-hmm.
Again, why are they gassing a zombie? He doesn't need to breathe.
Yeah.
Apparently he does, but the Flash getting his ass kicked a lot. Again, they're like, oh, don't worry, he'll live. It's Solomon Grundy, he's a zombie, he's not alive.
yeah.
Flash showing his supportive, like, I don't want to say parental, but really compassionate side, where he's, you know, tucking in Hawkgirl and, you know, being by her side, that really showed a little bit of a another aspect of the character, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Could be.
That's pretty much it. What do you got?
I've already gone through all my notes. I'm still looking for Volcano over here.
Okay. Do you want me to continue on?
Yeah, she is a Superman the Animated Series villain. So, yeah, I wasn't sure where she had came from, because he had two or three female villains. Well, four, actually. Now that I'm looking through this thing, five. But, like, just cheesy female villains. He had Roxy Rocket and Volcano. So, but that, yeah, that's where she came from, with Superman the Animated Series.
Cool.
Yeah, I guess we can move on to part two.
Okay, so in part two, Batman quickly calls all the other members, but they're already asleep. In their dreams, each of them lives out their worst nightmare. Hawkgirl is trapped in a coffin and buried alive. Flash is trapped in a world where he is moving so fast that everyone and everything around him is motionless. Superman's powers increase beyond his ability to control him, and he accidentally causes the destruction of... accidentally kills that he loves, including Lois Lane, Jimmy Olsen, and Perry White. John Stewart is trapped in a world where everyone is afraid of him, and he's unable to understand their language or make himself understood, and the energy of his ring is consuming him from the inside. Batman determines to track Dee down, reasoning that he has probably chosen someplace familiar as a hideout. John takes the other Leaguers to the Watchtower for medical attention. Hearing a news report that Penny has died as a result of Destiny's torture, John decides that he has to risk entering his teammates' minds. Batman searches Dee's house and his regular haunts, but his lack of sleep is threatening to catch up with him before he can find Dee. His computer tells him that Dee was a low-level LexCorp employee arrested in a warehouse for guarding a supply of smuggled weapons after a sweep by the leak.
Got a little trivia for you there.
What's that?
You know who the voice of the computer was?
Who?
Maria Canales Barrera.
So it was Hawkgirl?
Yeah.
That's awesome. where was I? One by one, Jean meets his teammates in their dreams and brings them out of their delusions, mainly by telling them they can control their power. For Flash, he simply had to slow his heartbeat. Dr. Destiny attempts to fight them, appearing as a giant one dream world. Although they defeat him, Hawkgirl is still trapped, and Destiny focuses all of his energy on blocking off her mind from Jean's telepathy. Batman tracks Dee down at a warehouse. Dee is close enough that he can enter Batman's mind even though he's awake, but Batman keeps him out by humming Frère Jacques over and over again. Relying partly on projecting telepathic illusions, Dee attacks Batman hand-to-hand, trying to stab him with a syringe containing a sedative. In the fight, Dee accidentally injects himself and falls unconscious. Hawkgirl awakens to see the rest of the League gathered around her smiling, except for Batman, who is snoring in a nearby chair. Aww. Dee lies in the infirmary at Stryker's, catatonic humming Frère Jacques over and over again.
You know, again, I'm not entirely sure how these two episodes add up to an hour, or even like 47 minutes total, because, again, it seemed like it went by way too fast.
It was really fast-paced, but it
yes,
was paced good.
Give me a triple.
Oh, I think we found the quote.
I have exactly four notes, and I've just given you two of them. Batman humming, and he also says, "My mind's not a nice place to be."
I would have liked to have seen him actually try to go into Batman's mind.
You know, they mentioned that on World's Finest Podcast, or they might have mentioned it over in their forum post on the about this episode. I think we get that later on. Oh, you know, yeah. In the JLU episode, for the Man Who Has Everything, with when Mongol returns with that plant, the Black...
Black Mercy?
Yeah, the Black Mercy. We enter Batman's mind. Of course, it's a... Yeah, anyway. Yeah, the humming was awesome. And then,
even though we heard the original song in the car as a car commercial.
Yeah.
And it was just horrible.
Oh, God. He's like, what's that? What are you doing? Why are you playing that? It's to keep you out.
Out.
And then Batman, like you said, finally sleeps.
Yep. And he looks so cute and innocent when he's sleeping. Aww. who knew that it would be a sociopath underneath that cowl?
Aww.
You know, it's funny. I'll have to send you the link. But over on Earth2.net, their main podcast, Earth2.net, the show, Michael David Sims, who does World's Finest Podcast with James Doe, he went to C2E2, the Chicago Entertainment Expo, or whatever it was, this past weekend, and he recorded a Kevin Conroy panel. Cool. And, yeah, it's just a very, very awesome listen. Yeah, it's just very, very cool. You know, this is probably so far, I mean, I know we just started season two, but this is probably, out of all of them, my least favorite.
Really?
Yeah, so far. I mean, it's got a lot of good one-liners, but it doesn't really... I don't know.
It's a pretty minor villain, but...
Yeah.
See, what have I got? The Flash animation in the beginning, when he's watching the TV of himself, I was like, wow, that's a bigger chin than Sentinel. For those who don't get that, Sentinel Prime from Transformers Animated, big chin.
Don't start.
Big old screw in the center.
Don't start.
What? It's his most endearing quality.
I just want an Optimus to just chop that chin right off. Just slice it right in half.
When Flash couldn't stop or was going too fast, at first I was thinking of, oh my god, someone gave him too many mochaccinos.
Yeah. Now, I do have to bring something up about that. I'm sorry to interrupt you. I do have to bring something up about that. This is the first time we see him do this, about slowing his heartbeat. It will come back in a better world. And silence.
Yes.
It's supposed to say something, damn it.
I haven't gotten to that point yet now, have I? I at least I think I haven't. Dun, dun, dun. What else? Okay, so the look on Bruce's face when Jean's like, I can't, he's too strong. Bruce's look on his face is kind of like, really? You're a Martian. Come on, dude. Really? You're like the most powerful telepath on the planet next to like a few other high-level characters. Really? Really? You're not even trying. At this point, does Lois know that Clark is Superman?
I don't think so, no.
That's just kind of like, really? After all this?
Yeah, I know, but I don't think so.
And then Hamina... Okay, during the Green Lantern nightmare, one of the billboards is one of the longest fish names of all time. And it has some meaning in Star Trek, but it's a Hawaiian word, so it's like Hamana Wana Kaputa blah blah blah. Although I'm a linguist, I will say I know next to nothing about Hawaiian. So I saw that and I was like, wow, okay. Caught that. And then I thought it was hilarious that Greenland GL has a marine tattoo.
Mm-hmm.
Like, really? They gave a character a tattoo? Like, one of the superheroes? Really? Wow. That's interesting. The Superman nightmare where he's all deformed kills his little buddy, which I cheered for. I hate that character.
Come on!
I hate Turtle Boy. I'm sorry. I hate him so much.
You hate Jimmy?
I hate Jimmy.
Really?
Hate Jimmy with a passion.
Wow.
He was a pointless character in my opinion. But,
wow. Yeah. What the hell is wrong with you? You like fucking Guy Gardner, but you don't like Jimmy Olsen?
Hey, Guy Gardner rocks. He doesn't have some sonic little watch.
Hey, come on now.
And he doesn't dress up like a Ninja Turtle. That's all I'm saying.
Jimmy didn't when did he dress up like a Ninja Turtle?
In the comics, he actually was going around.
I only know Jimmy from TV and movies and cartoons. I don't know him from comics, so...
Oh, no, he tried going around in a turtle suit. Which he was actually a star of a live-action turtle show. So he stole the costume and was going around for a while. But yeah, I hate that character. You just drives me nuts. But when he picked him up and crushed him, that filled me with glee. But then when I saw Superman, he looks exactly like the Play School Super Friends toy. Like, all deformed, like, Rescue Heroes-esque. I'm like, wow, that's where they got the character design for the toy. Okay. The Green Lantern going into the Lantern and totally, like, decimating it and taking it into himself, that was awesome.
Yeah, that, it was.
And then the whole fight scene between Dr. Destiny and Bats, that last part was just awesome.
Yes.
Like, the whole flashing in and out and... Like, honestly, the character, Dr. Destiny, when he, during this, if I were to go through that, I would be creeped out beyond belief.
Oh, yeah.
But then, you know, dying on your own, not dying, but, you know, being injected by your own over-the-top sedative dose.
Yeah.
Scary. And I still don't understand why he is so against the Justice League.
Well, he really didn't have a problem with Batman and... I forget who it was. I think it's all the non-powered leaguers. Like, maybe Batman and Flash or whatever.
Well, Flash had superpowers. He was in the dust.
I know the Flash has super speed, but, like, that's pretty much all the Flash has is super speed. He doesn't have... He doesn't fly. He's not bulletproof. He doesn't have a ring. Dee's whole thing was, you know, they think they're better than everybody else. And I don't know. It might be in the audio. Of course, you probably won't listen to the final episode once it goes up.
I wouldn't say that.
Yes, you... Have you caught up yet to all the other episodes we've released and recorded so far? No.
I plead the fifth.
See? No.
I plead the Guy Gardner.
No, you can't plead the Guy Gardner.
Sure I can.
Oh. We have anything else you want to say about only a dream?
Nope.
Yeah. All right. Well, we are going to head to the outro, and we will be back after this. This is the quote of episode 7.
We know he used you, humiliated you, brainwashed you, wound you up like a tin soldier, and turned you loose against Earth. Cry me a river. On the outside chance that this isn't another one of his schemes, we have to take action. So I suggest you get over it.
Well, that's it for episode 7. We did, like I said before, we started season 2. So far, just out of this episode that we covered in this one, Twilight and Tabula Rasa are the best out of the three stories. Only a Dream has a lot of good, like, one-liners and points and stuff, especially from Batman and all that stuff, but the overall story is kind of lacking, I thought. It's basically just a revenge story, eventually, which is kind of stupid. Do you have any final thoughts on the three episodes that we talked about today?
I'm not... unlike you, I really did like Only a Dream. It was insanely fast, but...
I think that's what...
It was a lot really enjoyable.
Yeah, that's one of the reasons why I didn't like it. Like I said, I like a lot of the Batman one-liners. Him humming is awesome, but the overall story, I just meh.
I honestly like the fact that this was a character that was really minor. You know, this guy might have thought he was just doing his job for Lex as a security agent,
yeah,
or private security. So to see him descend into this type of madness to become a supervillain, and the superheroes originally not taking him seriously.
Yeah.
But yeah, I really did like this one.
All right.
A little bit more than some parts of Twilight.
What?
I think. Yeah. I mean, but a lot more than Tabula Rasa.
You like this a lot more than Tabula Rasa, really?
Yeah, because it just seemed that the whole issue was Jean. And, why am I doing this? It seemed really blasé to me. Maybe it's because I see a lot of episodes of TV shows like that. A lot of stories, at least.
Yeah, I can see that point, but, you know, Tabula Rasa had the point of, this is the first time since the League got together that they find out that Batman has kryptonite. And of course, we already know that from watching, well, at least I, but, you know, I mean, you know, we already know that he has, you know, ways of dispatching his teammates if need be.
Yep, but that wasn't really brought out other than that one.
Well, right.
One thing of kryptonite. Like, I figured he would be the one person to be like, okay, I can take him out with this, and just lay him out.
Yeah.
But
the kryptonite actually worked because it obviously made the android really scared. He was, like, shaking in his boots.
But it didn't explain, there was no, like, nervousness over that. Like, oh, what's this? You know, I don't understand what's going on.
Yeah. Alright.
It's still not as bad as Warworld.
Oh, God. Nothing is as bad as Warworld.
Twilight?
No.
The other Twilight?
No, shut up. We're not, no. No. This is not sparkly.
You can throw some glitter on it.
No glitter for you. Thank you for joining us here on the Secret Origins Podcast. There are several ways to get in contact with us or leave feedback for the show. Visit the website geekcastradio.com. Join the forums predaconempire.com/nexus. Leave the show feedback in iTunes. Please do this. Follow the show on Twitter. We have Secret Origins is the show Twitter. Mine is TFG1Mike. What is your Twitter?
Caminiti Style. CaminitiStyle.
MOUSE.
Guy Gardner.
Oh, Mickey Mouse. Become a fan on Facebook. Search Geekcast Radio Network. Call the voicemail line. Tell us the show you're leaving the message for and your name, 502-526-5821. We hope you enjoyed this episode of the Secret Origins Podcast. Wish you will join us next time when we'll be reviewing two more stories from Justice League Season 2, those being Maid of Honor and Hearts and Minds. For now, I am TFG1 Mike with...
Lupus Convoy.
Thank you for listening. Until next time.